My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They didn't want to be the team to not bring home gold.
No doubt.
They had a desperate look in their eyes.
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, y'all? It is your favorite duo of all time. Welcome to another episode of Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And court.
And court.
Is in session.
In session.
Woo!
Let's go.
We got a lot to get to today. We are going to have an interview with Breonna Jones later in the episode. We got to talk about this gold medal game. We have a lot to say. Also, WNBA is back later this week, finally.
I'm excited. About WNBA.
Me too. I am excited about the W. But first, me and Cheryl hung out in
How
person.
About that?
It was so good.
It was so good. Some stuff we're going to keep to ourselves that we talked about because y'all don't need to know. Don't be nosy.
Don't be nosy.
But it was good. It was good to see you in person. And like we hung out and it wasn't hanging out because we were working.
It was just for funsies, like lunch,
good food,
and shopping. Did you get all your shoes home?
No, haven't gotten the ones I ordered. No. But okay. Let me just tell y'all. I don't know if I want to say Jordan's a good shopping buddy or a bad shopping buddy.
I take pride in that.
I was trying to be disciplined and I was like, you know what? I don't need these. And she's like, oh my God, but you do. Those look so good on your feet. Oh, but the bag too. So I went in to get one pair of shoes and I walked out with how many?
Oh, probably 4 to 5.
No.
4 to 5 rings.
I walked out with 3 and they're shipping one pair.
Oh, okay. They're shipping one pair. So you didn't get the other ones. But at one point, there were about 5 shoes on the counter. So that was.
And two bags. Didn't go in for a bag, but walked out with 2 bags.
I am the person that I don't know. Maybe if you want to have some fun shopping, I am not going to tell you not to buy it. So if you want discipline, don't bring me along. I'm going to say yes. And look where it could go with. And do you have this color? Do you have something like this? You need it. You want it. You deserve it.
In every color possible. Yeah. Thank you. But it was so good. The food was good. The conversation. Seriously, I'm going to say this without crying, but the conversation was the best.
I know.
It was the best. Everything.
It was so fun. Yeah. And LA was great. So we're going to do that again in the future. But
totally.
Yes, we are our friends besides talking to you guys on here on the podcast. But we love doing this because it was fun to work with you, but also to hang out with you outside of work. So that's my favorite part.
Agreed.
How was the rest of your weekend?
I think it was good. It was good. I didn't do anything. I did a little. I tried to help my husband, like, in the garden and the yard, but it's too hot to be outside.
It's really hot.
I can't. I went out seriously for about 10 minutes. I did a little bit. And then I don't know who came in the house faster, me or my dogs. Because they were like, listen, it's way too hot. But it was nice. It was just a nice, relaxing weekend. And you?
Fun. Yeah, you know, I went on a girls' trip this weekend. Me and my friends from college, we just have this date booked every year. And it is so fun to be able to say, like, you know, this weekend in August is our weekend. We graduated almost 10 years ago now, and we have kept it up. Wow. And it is intentional time where we're not planning a bunch of stuff, but we just meet in a mutual location and just gab and over wine and play games. So it was so much fun. So much.
Which is good. Relaxing. You got to have that sometimes.
Yes.
I didn't go to college with you, but I'd like to be included in that girls' trip.
Yeah, come on down. Come on down.
I think I saw one of the photos you posted, and it looked like you guys were having a really good time.
Having a great time. So that was fun. I feel refreshed from that. And then we just like, okay, where are we going next year? And it's already on the calendar. So it's a lot of fun. It's great.
Yeah.
Intentional friendships. I feel like that was my theme this whole weekend. It's just great conversation, great friendships, kicking it off with you in LA.
I love that.
So that was great. It was fun.
I love that.
All right. Well, now let's get into it, because the USA women's basketball team won their 8th straight gold medal. And they're 61st consecutive Olympic win, which is insane. That is crazy. But they won by 1 point, 67-66 over France. I was sweating bullets. I was stressed out. I don't know about you, but it was a little too close for comfort for most of that game. About 99% of it, including the final shot at the end by Gabby Williams. But I want to ask you one word to describe this win in the theme of the 1 point victory.
One word?
Yeah. We're going to talk about the other words, but one word for your theme?
Shit.
Great word.
That's how it felt. Okay, now I'll give you the PG version. I feel like I could say that since Asia did. But anyway. Gosh, I think my one word I would use would be for this particular game or the whole Olympics?
I would say this game specifically.
No doubt. My one word for this game is going to be nervous.
Nervous.
Yeah.
I felt that. Mm-hmm. My word is desperate. Like, we were desperate. They didn't want to be the team to ruin the streak. They didn't want to be the team to not bring home gold.
No doubt.
They had a desperate look in their eyes when shots weren't falling, turnovers and all that. It was like,
Oh my God, Jordan, we have to cut this segment off because we could be on this the entire episode.
I know.
Because your word is desperate, which I love. And the reason why I say nervous is because every single player on this team looked nervous. I've never seen Asia Wilson miss so many layups. I've never seen Stewie miss layups. They were missing free throws. They were turning the ball over left and right. I was sitting on my couch, literally talking to the television. And I was just like, listen, what we not gonna do is not bring the gold home. Right. So whatever it is y'all gotta do, like, figure it out, because come on now. And then let me say this. I saw Lisa did an interview with Maria Taylor. I think it was at halftime.
Yeah, it was at halftime. Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting here before she said it. I was thinking the same thing. Like, I don't care what you think about Diana. Think she should be there, shouldn't be there, like or love or hate or whatever. Put her in the game. Mm-hmm. If for no other reason, let's just calm everything down. And Diana brings that. She has that presence about her. She has that calmness about her. She has that, like, listen, I've been here before. Let me just calm everything down. And not only that, maybe she could have hit a couple of big buckets for us when we were needing them, because it was not looking good. This was the first time ever, even when I was playing, that I actually was like, we could lose this game.
Ooh,
the first time ever. Especially when France went up by 10 in the third quarter. It's just like, oh no, we're not doing this.
We are not doing this. So a couple things to what you just said. So that 1 point differential was the lowest ever for USA women's basketball. The next in line was a semifinal win over Russia in 2004, according to ESPN. You were on that team. That was in Athens. Mm-hmm. And you ended up winning, you know, 66-62, another low scoring battle. But I just like what you said, you still didn't think you guys were going to lose.
Oh, no,
that game.
I didn't.
Wow.
And here's the difference, right? That game, like, I was playing, so I could help control that situation. I play no more. So I can't go put myself in the game. I'm not there. I was just like, y'all, I'm hitting my forehead if you can't see. But I was like, what are we doing? What are we doing? But Don said it best. We have Asia and they don't. Yes. But I also got to say, we had Kalia Copper and they did not. Ka saved the day yesterday.
What were they saying? It turned copper into gold.
How about one
of the heroes. She made some winning free throws. She had a great drive at the end of the game, but she also brought the defense. She had 12 points, 5 rebounds. It was just a different mode. And then you kind of are like, you know, we were talking about it. She wasn't getting a lot of tick in the early games, but when you have a finals MVP on your roster in Ka, North Philly with an F, Ka really, really showed up. But to your point about Diana, you know, this was her 6th career gold medal. She is the first woman to win 6 gold medals for a team sport. But she had a hilarious comment after the game because, to your point, I don't think Diana wanted to be a cheerleader on the bench. I think she wanted to contribute.
For sure.
In some way. And a reporter asked her, you know, you just had to one-up your friend Sue Bird by getting 6. And Diana said, well, the funny thing is me and Sue both had the same stat line today. So I guess I got a gold medal. But
shots fired.
I didn't do it.
Shots fired. Well, oh, you know, Jordan, hilarious. Which and Diana is a funny person. She has a great sense of humor. And, you know, my question to that, or my point to that is, you know, everybody's role is different when you're on the Olympic team. It just is, unless you're Asia Wilson and Breonna Stewart, right? Rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to star Diana, I see that. I get that. Don't have an issue with it. If you're not going to play her a lot of minutes, great. But yesterday's game for me was the one game where I was like, this is why Diana Taurasi is on this team.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's put her in the game. Mm-hmm. So, but at the end of the day, we won. It wasn't pretty. We didn't win by 20. We won by 1. And I'm going to take it.
Just
when you get the gold medal, they didn't say, you're only getting this and you only won by 1 point. They're saying y'all were the best women in the world.
Yeah.
Here you go. Thank you very much.
And when we were talking about playing time and things like that, I think, you know, a lot of people were saying Jewel or what was Chelsea Gray's minutes all over the place. Everyone's medal is just as gold. The gold isn't heavier or darker if you get more points or more minutes. They were a part of this team.
Absolutely.
So their medal is also gold. But someone's who could have been a little brighter is Asia Wilson, because she finished with 21 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 blocks. Huge blocks that were momentum shifters, and was the center of the offense. You know, the first you missed to mention those missed layups, just things we weren't used to seeing. She was 2 for 9 shooting in that first half, and then she went 4 for 5 and 7 free throws in that second half. So she had that desperation. I think a part of her legacy, she didn't want to be a part of the team that didn't finish the job. So she took home MVP with the apostrophe. You always got to add it. Of the Olympics, averaging 18 points, 10 assists, or 10.2 assists over the last 6 games. So she's been so dominant. Stewie kind of struggled. She went 2 for 8 from the field, but her defense in those final seconds, getting the block on that 3-point attempt, that's what kind of sealed the deal. And then we talked about Cobb. But I also want to shout out from France. I think a lot of people were like, why isn't Gabby Williams in the WNBA? Why isn't Maureen Johannes in the WNBA? These are WNBA players. I think France, they foregoed to the start of the WNBA season to fully commit. Like, they all didn't do anything else. They were like, we are a part of this Olympic team. We are training. We are playing because we want to beat USA. And you saw that. You saw that determination. You saw that togetherness. Their defense was overwhelming. It was, oh my gosh, smothering. And when you have Gabby Williams on your squad, that's kind of the tone that you set, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I knew we'd get to Gabby later because, I saw De'Erica Hamby, Angel Reese reaching out like, Gab, you want to come back to Chicago? De'Erica was like, nope, I ask first. Oh, without question, Gabby Williams needs to be in the league. She needs to go play somewhere. It's just beautiful to watch. Mm-hmm. But let me say this, because a lot of people, you know, who watch the game and I'm reading comments and they're like, that's a foul. For any player out there who's ever played overseas, who's ever played international basketball, fouls really don't exist. Like, it is going to be physical. They're going to let you play. They're going to let you take people's heads off. And you're probably not going to get a call. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the game yesterday was one of the biggest issues we had, meaning the U.S. Mm-hmm. The physicality that France was allowed to play and get in your space and be physical and bump you and not let you go to where you want to go and holding and scratching and like all of that was happening. And I felt like that's what really took Team USA out of the game. Mm-hmm. Because if you're an opposing team internationally in the Olympics playing USA, you're probably saying from talent wise, right? From top to bottom, we cannot match up with them. Not the entire team. So what's our advantage? We're going to be physical with you.
Right.
Like, they were so physical with Asia. So a lot of those layups she missed, I think it was because, one, they were being physical. And after she missed like 3 in a row, it was just like, I think she mentally got in her head, right? Mm-hmm. But not to take anything away from France, because I thought that squad, they had a great game plan. They came to play. Their fans played a huge part in getting them where they were. But listen, I'm going to just say it again. We just had a little bit more talent. Just a little bit. They found a way to get it done. Yep. We look desperate. We look nervous. But we are the champs.
We are the champions.
We are the champions, my friend.
Boom, yeah. Boom, boom. Yes.
Yeah.
They did it.
Congrats, ladies. Congrats.
Yeah,
Can I say one thing before we move to the next topic?
Of course. Yeah. I have another
one. I know we're talking about the women. You do. But look, can I say this? Wardell. Not Steph. I just need to say Wardell. Wardell Curry.
Man. My
girl.
Goodness.
Woo, just, okay. That's all I need to say. Congrats to our men's Olympic team. Our men. As well.
Both teams got it done. Last thing I want to say is for the people questioning, you know, Gabby Williams, Maureen Johannes, Ayanna Rupaire, they are eligible to return to the WNBA for the remainder of the season. That was a hot topic. I think from watching that performance, some GMs are looking at their rosters a little different. They're like, who can we move around to make some space for these players? So we will see how that all unfolds. But we got it. Job is finished.
It should happen.
Job is finished. Congrats, USA. Congrats. You made us nervous, but congrats.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And for all of those players, you would think they get to ride off into the sunset and celebrate and relax. Just kidding. The rest of the the rest of the season starts in 3 days. So here we go. The WNBA is back. I have missed it. I'm so excited to see what everyone else was working on their game and who's going to come back for this second half push to try to make the playoffs. So it's like there's a lot at stake here. We're getting back into it. And I wanted to kind of go through the standings a little bit just so we know where we're at.
Yeah.
We need to
remind everybody.
Remind everyone, this is the Women's Basketball National Association. No, I'm just kidding. This is this season has been a little up and down, but really exciting. So sitting in first place coming after the break is the New York Liberty. They're at 21-4. They had a great start to the season. They're on a 4-game winning streak. So they're sitting at first place. Number two is the Connecticut Sun. At number three is the Minnesota Lynx. Four, Seattle Storm. Five is the Las Vegas Aces, which we know Asia Wilson has been playing MVP level all season, MVP of the Olympics. You think that's going to stop? No, she's going to keep going the rest of the season. At sixth is the Phoenix Mercury. At seven is the Indiana Fever. Eight is the Chicago Sky. So right now, those are all of the teams in the playoff picture. Right outside of that is the Atlanta Dream, who are sitting at a 8-game losing streak right now. Hopefully that can turn around in this second half of the season. We'll see. The LA Sparks are at 10, the Washington Mystics at 11, and the Dallas Wings is at 12. Last.
Well, yeah, they are. But when you look at just, I'll say 7th through 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Like those last two playoff spots are kind of up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? With the Fever sitting at 11-15 and Dallas at 6-19. There's just so much room for movement. And looking at, just say Dallas, if Satu Sabally can come back and play the way she did in the Olympics, alongside Arike, Odyssey, Tierra, Kalani, like I'm not ready to count Dallas out.
Me neither. And I think Dallas fans, I hope when you were watching Satu, you were saying, Can't wait to see that back in a Dallas Wings uniform. Like, we have missed you and have needed you.
She looked really good. Yeah,
so much.
Really good.
So much. So just thinking of, you know, the games that are lined up for the rest of this week. So it kicks off on Thursday, August 15th. We got the Mercury and the Sky. We have the Mystics versus the Lynx. Will we see Shakira Austin? Go back and listen to our previous episode where we interviewed her. She's hopeful to come back. I think that mixes in the Mystics. If they can get Slim and Shakira Austin back healthy, we'll see how we'll see if she suits up. Then we have the Liberty and the Sparks. So that's all on Thursday. Friday, we got the Storm and the Dream. Seattle's on a 3-game winning streak. And I think I'll be curious to see if Jewel Lloyd is like, yes, she got the gold medal. She's a 2-time medalist.
Oh,
but you know what I mean? Like, we got to show you what you had.
Oh, no.
We got to show you what you had on the bench.
Who are they playing? Atlanta?
Yeah.
Sorry, Atlanta. Because Jewel Lloyd is going to be on a mission without question.
Without question. So, yeah. Sorry. What does that mean? Sorry to that man. Yeah. That's going to be Jewel. So then we got Mercury in the Fever. This is all on Friday. And then Connecticut Sun versus Dallas. The Sun. We'll have Alyssa Thomas, who I was just so happy for.
I feel like
her role was so great. She gets a gold medal. Any other things you're excited about as the WNBA restarts?
I'm just excited. Listen, it's the second half of the season. So, like, people gotta bring it. They gotta show up. We watched the Olympics, so we know those players, you know, they're gonna come back, they'll be ready to play. How tired will they be?
Mm-hmm.
Probably will be, because they had the All-Star game straight to the Olympics. And these other players, they had breaks. So when I look at teams like just any of them who didn't have Olympians, right? Mm-hmm. They had time to have a little break, but also time to get back in the gym and personally work on their game, but also as a team, figure stuff out. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be real interesting to see how this second half turns around for teams.
What do you think is going to be what's the challenge with having a break in the middle of the season? I know we talked about some teams were just hitting a groove at the right time. And so you're going to have to kind of restart that. But even just from an individual standpoint, if you weren't at the Olympics, what is that challenge to get back into the rhythm of playing games every other day? All of that.
Yeah, I mean, that is the challenge in itself, right? Especially when you have teams who were playing really well before the break. Chicago, Indiana, those two really come to mind for me that were playing pretty well before the break. So you take the break and now it's like, because it's totally different practicing, right? Practicing with your team or going against your practice squad. That's very different than actually playing against other teams. So just, you know, having to turn that switch, like, okay, we're back in play mode and we got to try and get some wins together because there is a playoff picture. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be real important for some of these teams who are not only fighting to make the playoffs, but the ones who are at 7-8, right. For them to hopefully get off to a really good start in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Jordan, the other side of that, the part that, like, a Las Vegas Aces, they have 4 players in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I know, like, Asia's been playing out of her mind, but they're tired. Mm-hmm. You had 4 players in the Olympics, and they're 4 players who are a huge part of why you are so good, right? Why your team is so good. So, as a coach, where do you find time and a place to give those players some rest?
That's a great point. And you know, when I'm looking at this list again, and the Aces don't have a game this week. So that worked out in their favor.
In your favor.
Because four out of your five starters, yes, were just not only playing in the Olympics, but enjoying Paris and all of the Olympics festivities and the time change and the jet lag and all of that that goes into it. So, yeah, that is going to be something to keep your eye on. But overall, I'm looking forward to the WNBA kicking off again this week. And we talked about the Connecticut Sun, who are sitting in second place right now. And a part of that is Bree Jones. I got a chance to sit down with Breonna Jones just ahead of her third All-Star game in Phoenix. And we talked about the current season with Connecticut, her journey back from her Achilles injury to an All-Star position. Crazy. And how she said consistency will be key for the Sun to finally get over the hump, be in the finals, and win the finals. But here's our conversation. Take a listen.
Okay, we are here with Breonna Jones, three-time All-Star. Welcome to the show, Queen.
Thank you for having me. So glad to be here.
So happy to have you. So I just want to get right into it. Connecticut, you guys came out hot this season, 13-1, best start in franchise history. What do you think? What do you attribute that hot start to?
I think just our versatility all around. I think, you know, any given night, it can be any of our nights. You know, we don't have to just rely on one singular person every night. So I think that makes us hard to guard. You know, you have to pick and choose who you want to, you know, take away and things like that. But I think that's what's made us so successful. And then defensively, you know, we get after it. That's something that we pride ourselves on. And, you know, when the shot's not falling, we know we can rely on our defense.
I was going to say, what is your team's identity right now? Is it in defense?
I think it's defense. I think, you know, all of us take a lot of ownership on defense. I think that's something that we, like I said, pride ourselves on. That's something that we know if we get stops, we can get out in transition and play fast like we want to. So I think that's definitely our identity. And then, you know, everybody on that team is tough. Like, we're going to fight to the very end. The physicality, I think we try to, you know, be the most physical team out there. So I think that's our identity right now.
Well, you say that physicality, you say that toughness, and, you know, a couple days ago on this recording, you get Marina Mabry that comes to your team in a trade. How does she add to the squad to make it even deeper and scarier than you guys already are?
Oh, no, I think she definitely adds another layer of offensively, you know, what she brings. You know, she can shoot, she can pass, she can create off the dribble. And I think that's something that we definitely need. And I'm excited to play alongside her. You know, I've been playing against her for all these years. It's going to be good to have her on my team. But I think she's definitely going to, you know, help us get to that next level of where we want to be. And just that mentality that she has, she already has that, you know, that toughness and that tenacity that she plays with. So I think she already is going to fit right in that way.
I think so too. Yeah. I think it's just going to be seamless. It's going to fit right in. But I want to get inside the locker room a little bit. And what are those conversations that you guys are having when you think about bringing the first championship home to this franchise? Like, what are those conversations? What's that motivation behind that?
I think that motivation is, you know, we've been so close so many times. And I think, I think this year, it's like, what else do we need to do to get over that hump? I think everybody needs to bring a little bit more. I mean, you know, we've had these conversations of it's on us to have that ownership of our team and being like, if we want this, we got to go take it. And we have to come together at the right time and, gel together. Adding this new piece, I think it's going to go a long way. But I think it's just, like I said, taking that ownership to do all the little things and everybody's taking that next step up to get over the hump.
Do you feel the pressure since you guys have been so close so many times? Is it pressure?
I don't think it's pressure.
Okay.
Like, it's not so much pressure. It's just, I think it's just hunger. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. Hunger. Yeah. No, pressure makes diamonds, but hunger. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like that. Lions. That's what that comes out. I mean, you guys say that you have that tough team, but that identity piece, that defensive piece, what do you personally think it is to get over that hump? To get and bring a banner to Connecticut?
I think it's consistency. I think there's some games like everything's clicking, everything feels good. And then, you know, some games we, you know, hit some lulls and we, you know, find ourselves struggling to get out of it. I think it's just, you know, finding that consistency, you know, for 40 minutes across multiple games and putting those back-to-back, 40-minute efforts together. I think that's the part that's a little bit lacking right now.
Well, I remember your coach, Coach Stephanie White, she said, even when you guys were 13-1, you guys weren't playing your best yet.
And I think we all felt that too.
So, really? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Okay. So you feel like even in this midway point, the best is yet to come for your team.
Oh, for sure. No, we definitely haven't reached our ceiling yet. And I think that's a great point to be at, you know, especially now we have time to, you know, work on some things and iron out some kinks and practice and get out there together. So I think it's a perfect time to, you know, head into the peak. You know, I think going into playoffs, that's when you want to be peaking. And I think, you know, we still have more to give.
It's pretty nice to be like second in standings and be like, we're not even there yet.
Yeah, I think that's what's scary.
Terrifying. For the rest of the league listening to this, they're terrified for that because you guys aren't even there yet. Wow. So I want to transition to your personal journey because these last 12 months or so, wow. I just want to get into that and kind of open the veil a little bit. You know, this time last year, you were rehabbing your Achilles, and now you're here at All-Star, and you got your third what?
It's an insane.
Have you patted yourself on the back for that yet?
A little bit. I mean, because, yeah, like, this time last year, I don't think I was even walking yet, like, fully walking. So, like, when I put it in perspective like that, it's, like, it's crazy, and I'm here at the All-Star, and that's something I'm definitely proud of, just, you know, showing up every day in rehab and, you know, doing all the things I need to do to get back on the court, mentally, physically. But, you know, I was just working to, you know, get back on the court and be out there for my teammates and doing whatever I could. To get back in playing at All-Star level, it's definitely something that I was hoping for and that was the goal. But to see it happen so quickly is kind of mind-boggling, but also because at the beginning of the season, in training camp, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it for the first game. I don't know if I'm going to be ready for the first game. Just like mentally, I was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like that feeling of that first practice. But I'm like, I was talking to Alyssa. She helped a lot. But I was like, you've only been playing for 2 days at this point. Like I've been playing 5-on-5 or just like basketball with more people than just like in a workout setting for 2 days or like a week or 2 weeks or whatever it was. And I just, once I put that in perspective and like talked to Alyssa and she's like, it's going to come. There's going to be a moment where it just clicks and it's just, can't tell you when it's going to happen, but you'll feel it. And I definitely felt that and it definitely helped talking to her a lot. So, but yeah. And then started the season came and I was ready. I mean, the recovery after the game, I was feeling it. That first game, I was feeling it.
I bet. You're like, whoa.
The whole body was sore. I was like, are you sure you want to play? But after that, like after you get back in the swing of things, like basketball's a physical sport. But once I got back in the swing of things, like it was just like clockwork, you know, just getting back on schedule and, you know, my routine that I was used to. It was just great to be back.
When was that moment that it clicked for you? When did that happen?
It might have been like a few games in. I want to say it was when we played Minnesota for the first time at home. I think that's when everything was really started to click. I felt like I was moving more like myself. Like I felt like I was, so not 100%, but like I definitely felt sparks of myself more than I had in the other games.
Well, you talk about the rehab and, you know, I've seen the videos of you learning to walk again all over. That's the physical side, but you hinted at it, the mental side of it, of getting that confidence back, getting back to an All-Star level player. Kind of walk me through that. And you mentioned Alyssa Thomas, but how did you work through that?
I think it was just giving myself a lot of patience. I have started journaling a lot, just, you know, writing down all my thoughts and having something to go back to be like, oh, this is where I was before and like this is where I am now. And just seeing that growth like on paper for me was very helpful. But just I think mentally finding that confidence again, it was tough because I was in training camp, like I said, or I was in the workouts before training camp started. And I was just like, man, like, I don't know if I'm going to get back there. And I think those thoughts of like, oh, I don't know, or like I can't. Like those thoughts kind of were starting to take over, and I think I had to like flip the mindset of like, but you can. Like you've gone this far. Like you learned how to walk again. You learned how to run again. You learned how to like move on the court again. So I was like, if you've done all these things up to this point, like you can keep going. Like you're gonna get. Like you're gonna keep, you know, gaining things back, you know, as time goes. But I think I was just kind of expecting things to happen a little faster. And I think just putting those expectations on myself kind of like slowed down my. I come back a little bit, just like mentally, of that confidence. So, but once I got past that and, you know, talking to Alyssa, like I said, helped a lot. She's like, yeah, I was there. I understand.
Literally she was there. She was like, she had her Achilles injury, came back. Yes.
She's like, I know exactly what you're feeling. It's like, I know it feels weird right now, but it's going to be better. And she was like, I was in practice like, oh my God, I can't make a layup. I can't catch the ball. And she's like, you're fine. Like, I was like, and coming from her, I was like, okay, then I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, one of the things I didn't expect was like not being able to like catch the ball.
Right.
Like
how fast that goes away.
It was just timing kind of thing. Like, not that I couldn't catch it. It was just like the timing of, I don't know.
Just getting used to playing basketball again. Exactly. Wow. Oh my. And I just want to keep bringing the point back that you are an all-star this year. Like, so when you heard that you made the all-star team, kind of walk me through that moment, because did it just feel like, all right, all of those nights when I was doubting myself or having those thoughts, look where we are now, and it paid off.
Oh, for sure. No, I think definitely when I heard the news that I had made the all-star team officially, it was just like so many like thoughts of just like you said, like just those days where I was struggling or you know, I wasn't meeting the milestones that, you know, the medical team had, you know, laid out of where I needed to be at certain points and things like that. But it was just like all that hard work, all those days that I was you know, doing rehab for hours, it all paid off, and I you know made it to this point of being an all-star, and you know, just being a part of this moment in women's basketball is also pretty amazing, and I'm just, you know, glad to be here.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to playing in the All-Star game? You're third.
You know, I'm excited to, you know, just get out there and play against the people that, I mean, playing with the people that I'm usually playing against.
Yes, that's always fun.
Yeah, it's always fun. Like, now you're on my team, I don't have to scout for you. I think I'm just looking forward to, you know, competing against the USA team. You know, they have a great team, and just, you know, preparing them to go, you know, hopefully win a gold medal. So I think that's what I'm looking forward to. And just, you know, the atmosphere that I've already felt, the energy and the buzz that's, you know, surrounding this game, it's just going to be exciting, and playing on that stage, it's going to be an amazing feeling.
Well, I'm sure all of your teammates are like, okay, we don't have to scout for Bree Jones. Like, she's going to get the rebounds for us this time. That's really nice. I think about your role too on this Connecticut Sun team and how it's kind of evolved over since you first got here. Mm-hmm. How would you kind of describe your role on this team this season?
I think my role of this year is, a leadership role first. I think just being that presence of, I've been here, you know, have that experience, and being able to, you know, speak up when the time comes, and like help the younger players. Like I know I talk to Olivia all the time, just, you know, trying to give her pointers and you know, my perspective and things that I see to be able to help her. So just, you know, doing those little things, and then just being that consistent piece on the court. Just, you know, every night I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna give everything I have, you know, for the team. Whether that's, you know, guarding the you know, the big centers in the league, and you know, trying to, you know, keep them at bay, and then you know, scoring and doing whatever I need to do. Or, you know, some nights it might not be my night, but like, I'm still gonna, you know, be able to help out in other ways. So I think it's just, you know, whatever the team needs from me that day, that's what I'm trying to do.
I always think about, you know, you talked about keeping the bigs at bay, but
it's not an easy job.
That is not easy. I think, let's just look across the league right now, it is very post dominant. And I don't know how you do that every single night. Can you give us some insight? How? So
preparation.
Yeah.
You gotta be the scout, because that makes being in the right spot is half the battle. Mm-hmm. So if I know where I need to be, I can beat them to the spot, hopefully. And then you know, just, you know, doing my work early.
Yeah.
You know, I'm undersized, you know, for a five, you know, guarding most of these centers. So doing my work early and just, you know, being in the right position, I think that's the key for me.
It's not an easy job.
Guard me. Tire him out.
Yes, tire him out. That's a great, great plan. Yeah. I love that plan. Well, it is not easy, and it does not go unnoticed, because just from a fan, I'm tired just watching you work.
No, after the games, I'm tired. And they're like, oh no, we have to play tomorrow.
Oh yes. Quick turnarounds. Yeah. Welcome to the W. Right. I love it. I love it. Okay. So I want to get into coaching, because you were Coach Bree Jones at your alma mater, University of Maryland, this off season. Why coaching? Like, how did that opportunity come about?
So after my injury, Coach B reached out, you know, she was talking to me about my rehab, and she just kind of threw out, she's like, oh, but if you ever want to like come, you know, help out in Maryland, you know, the opportunity is open. And I thought it over a little bit, you know, I was like, I feel like this would be a great opportunity to like dip my toe into the coaching role and just see what it's all about. I can do rehab there. She's like, you can use our facilities and things like that.
Amazing.
And I think that was, you know, also help sway me, but also I get to coach. I mean, I get to work with Coach B, who I played under, so I already know like her system, and just like, see what it takes to run a D1 program the way she does, and mm-hmm. you know, she does an amazing job. But to be able to learn from her at any aspect was it was an amazing experience, and her coaching staff is amazing. The players were great, so just getting to work with them. I enjoyed it so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you see coaching in your future? Is that an aspiration of yours?
You know, coaching hasn't always been an aspiration of mine. But I mean, I definitely enjoyed it, and it's something that I would do again. But I don't know if it's going to be for me, you know, overall.
I bet that just the student athlete experience is probably so different from even just when you were just there.
Just there.
Oh, my God. So tell me about that. What was it like working with the athletes? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, one of my favorite questions to ask people who were in coaching is like, you had the role to teach them mm-hmm. and you have that WNBA experience. Mm-hmm. But what did they teach you? Because mm-hmm. I'm sure they taught you a lot. Besides the TikTok dances the trends and stuff like that.
I think it taught me a lot of patience. I think mm-hmm. just being able to explain things, and, you know, everybody picks up things differently. And just I think that's one of the things I learned. But also working with them, I think they're very receptive. You know, mm-hmm. they want to learn. They want to know. They want to get better. And I think that's the great part, is just being able to be able to reach them and like be able to, you know, teach and help and, you know, do whatever I can to make them better, you know, from just being around them and sharing my experience. So that was great for me, and definitely learned a lot from them.
Yeah. And I think it's also a big part of this moment that we're having in women's basketball right now, and being able to just see the funnel of more women being interested and mm-hmm. wanting to play in the W. So I feel like you get to see that now from playing in the W, but you also saw it from a college perspective. So what's your take on this growth right now?
Oh, I'm loving it. I think this is something, you know, especially, I mean, the W and, you know, women's sports in general, just been, you know, trying to grow the game over, you know, these last few years, coming into the league and how it is now. It just, there's so much growth and so much change, and it's great to see. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that we still have room to grow, and I think that's the great part. It's the beauty of it. You know, we're just on the surface, and I think moving forward, it's just going to get even better for, you know, those players that are coming up in that next generation. And I think that's something that, you know, we're all working towards. We want to leave the W better than how we came into it. And I think that's something that everybody across the league is, you know, getting behind.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. Like, it's such an exciting time mm-hmm. to not only be in media, but just to be a fan of this. And also to be like, we told you so. Yeah. Like, I love saying that. Like, so
no, you put it on TV now, you see. They want to watch.
We told you so. So I love that so much. And, okay, so maybe Coach Bree, maybe in the future, We'll see. Okay, we'll see. I'll leave it at that. The last thing I wanted to touch on is baking with Breezy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about it.
Okay.
Where did that passion for baking, cooking? Is it just baking, or is it cooking too?
I also like cooking.
You just throw just, down
I'm
in the
just,
kitchen.
I'm, yeah, well, I just, I'm better at baking. I'm okay. Not, I mean, I'm good at cooking, but I just prefer baking. I think it's just like the preciseness. So I was very big into math and science. That's why, probably why I like baking more.
Okay.
Just like, mixing solutions and everything, I gotta be very precise. And science
has
to be very precise. I was a pre-med major, so I gotta be very precise and all that. So I think that's why I like baking better. Cooking, you can just like kind of throw things together and it'll still work out.
But yeah.
Like, baking, if you don't do it like correct, then you might turn into you might have a flat cake or a dense cake, and you might have all the same ingredients, but you just did it in the wrong order or something. But
okay. Yeah. Well, that's fun. Yeah. Okay, so one question. If there was like a WNBA bake-off mm-hmm. and you had to pick a teammate to win this competition, what teammate are you picking to be your bake-off partner?
To be my partner.
Who else can throw down like you? Or is there no one? You're like, I'd rather fly solo.
Believe it or not, I'm going to pick Alyssa. You know, she throws down in the kitchen.
Okay, Alyssa fun Thomas.
Fact, fun fact, she throws down.
Okay.
So I'll pick her. I think she would definitely be the most helpful in the kitchen with me.
What's your go-to? What would you present for your bake-off?
I think probably anything Biscoff. Biscoff's like one of my favorite flavors. So a Biscoff cupcake, a Biscoff cake. I've made a little Biscoff cheesecakes.
A Biscoff cheesecake?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah. I live in L.A. If those... I don't know if you can mail that from Connecticut.
I don't know about a cheesecake.
Okay. I'll just fly to Connecticut. Yeah. Maybe I'll just get it. Special order. This has been so fun. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, we're going into the playoff push for Connecticut. What's kind of the one thing that you want people to know about your team heading into this finals of the season?
I just think I want the people to know that we're hungry. You know, we're ready for this moment. And, you know, we've been building for this for the past few years. And I think, you know, we have all the pieces we need to get over that hump this year. And I think, you know, we're hungry and we're ready.
I'm so excited to watch you play. I'm happy you are back on the court and healthy and an all-star at that. Congratulations. Thanks for chatting with me.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking to you.
Welcome back to Queens of the Court. And you just heard Brianna Jones, the center for the Connecticut Sun. What'd you think, Cheryl? She was so fun to talk to.
Yeah, such a great interview, though. You're so good at doing that. My first thing was, speak up, Bri. I can't hear you. She's so soft-spoken.
She is very soft-spoken, right? Yes.
But I loved everything about the interview. You know, we talked about this last year with Connecticut, right? Making the playoffs and just questioning how far could they have gone? Could they have won a championship? Mm-hmm. Had Bri not gotten hurt? And then just to hear her, you know, talk about where they are today and how confident they are and what that the best is yet to come still from this team. I agree with her. I think Connecticut is one of those teams that, again, this year, they are going to make a lot of noise. Will they finally get over that hump and win a championship? I don't know.
I don't know.
We think so. The squad thinks so.
And that consistency part, because it's true. It takes kind of I hated that feeling over these past couple years in the playoffs of not knowing what team for Connecticut was going to show up. And it is, I don't know if it's nice to know that that's also something that they realize and that they want to fix that, because they know that is a key to success. And when you look at the teams who have won, we knew what team was going to show up, and it was the same thing over and over. So hopefully they can get that. And hopefully I can get my cheesecake that she promised. We'll see.
You were very selfish because you didn't order.
I didn't even say you. I'm so sorry. I'll go pick us up too. I'll go pick us up two cheesecakes.
I forgive you.
On the way back from Connecticut, I'll just drop it from the plane. You could just catch it.
Okay, I got you in Houston. I got you. Really, really good interview, and so happy to see her back playing. She's healthy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went through, when I tore my ACL, I went through the doubts and the questions of, will I be able to come back? And so the physical part of it, I think, and in listening to Bri, the physical part, you're like, I know I will get there, right? I just got to get stronger. I got to do rehab, all of the things that you got to do to come back. But the toughest part, and Bri said it too, is the mental aspect of it, right? Yeah. The mental part of how good will I be when I come back? And in her case, having learning to walk again and just being patient, it just, because lots of times, especially when you're going through rehab, you want to speed the process up. You're like, okay, I'm ready. But I couldn't imagine having to learn how to walk all over again, right? Because you're coming back from some type of an injury. And shout out to AT for just being there, being a teammate, being an ear, being a friend. And we all need those types of friends and people in our lives when we're trying to come back from some type of an injury. And just really happy to have Bri back this season.
Absolutely. It's nice to have her back on the court. And it's always nice to want to play harder for your teammates when they are helping you through that time as well. Sure. So I can see that connection between her and Alyssa Thomas on the court after hearing that side of the story as well. So, all right, we got our eye on you, Bri Jones, and the Connecticut Sun, especially in this back half of the season. So we'll see how all that shakes out. But now It's time for our listener mailbag segment. This week's mailbag segment is delivered by Amazon Prime. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. And if you have a question for us, send us an email at queensofthecourt@odyssey.com. But this one came in for this week, and we're going to answer it. This is from Miles Ehrlich. He's a fellow WNBA writer.
What up, Miles?
And he posted this on Twitter. He said, with the first half of the season wrapped, with some time to finally take a breath and reflect, what are some of y'all's favorite personal accomplishments covering the W so far this year? Personal.
Do you want to go first?
I'll go first. I'll go first. I'll kick us off. I think of, well, accomplishments or just like some of my favorite things of covering it so far. I feel like this is the second season of the podcast, and I feel more comfortable, and I feel like both of us are like knowing what we want our audience to get from this, but also not from the basketball sense, but also the personal sense. I hope that you guys know us better as people outside of basketball from listening. That was definitely a goal of mine, and I feel like we have done a great job of that. And then also the interviews that we've gotten so far of experts to players. It's just more voices added. And I wanted Queens of the Court to be this platform that new fans, OGs, everyone that wants to learn more about basketball directly from the players' mouths or from reporting from the team beat reporters. So I've been really proud of how we've been just structuring the podcast this year. It's been great.
I like that. I would totally agree with all of that. And I would probably just add one other thing to that part as far as the podcast. And that's just being more comfortable in who I am as not a former basketball player, but a podcast co-host with you. Because if you remember when we first started, I was kind of like, I don't know if this is for me, right? Not working with you, but I don't know if this is for me. But I have to tell you, this year, I feel like I've been a lot more comfortable and just really enjoying all of the interaction when we're at All Star and on social media, how much people are really loving what we're bringing to them. And so I really enjoy that part. And the other thing I want to say is, and it's not even an accomplishment, but it's about the W. You know, there's a lot of negative stuff out there and people are going to be people. But overall, for the most part, I've just been very happy to see the growth this season. Right. Like all the eyes and people talking about it when First Take is leading off with the WNBA. You feel like we've made it because that has never happened, you know, for whatever reason, good or bad. But I've just been really happy and excited to see that. And two players in particular for me that I've enjoyed watching play, but I'm just really happy to see them back in the league. And that is Kennedy Carter, because she just her talent level is off the chart and she deserves to be playing. And the other is Skylar Diggins. Smith. You know, just knowing Skylar's story and everything she's been through and to see her back in the league and playing with a team where she's enjoying playing again and enjoying life, that for me has really filled my heart and just enjoying the season.
I really like that. And when you talk about the growth too, just kind of piggybacking off my initial point is like, it feels... feels like an honor that our podcast and our voices are a part of that a little bit. Like the growth of people coming into the league, they are hungry for more. And having a podcast about the WNBA is rare, and we are a part of that growth. So that does feel like an accomplishment because we're continuing the conversation around WNBA games specifically and the basketball part of it. can sometimes in years past just end when the game ends.
Yeah.
So now that there is a place where we can continue to have those conversations and recap the games and what that means for teams and the league and standings, people are hungry for that when you are a hoop head. So we're a part of that and it feels really great.
Yeah, it does.
Thanks, Miles. That's a good question. I don't feel like we always reflect inward to what we are accomplishing. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Miles.
Thanks, Miles. That was our listener mailbag delivered by Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into. Coming up next, we're going to give out some flowers. Welcome back to Queens of the Court. I know you missed us, but we're back. And now it's time to hand out a few bouquets, our favorite. That means it's time for Giving Flowers presented by AT&T. And I'll kick it off this week. First of all, my mom loved her.
Oh, I know she did. I know she did.
Last week, she was so honored and that I mentioned the scholarship. She was so happy. So this flower segment means something, okay? But this one just goes, it's pretty broad. It's going out to all the women in Team USA. I know we were listing off names previously, but the Olympics was about women's sports. The women did their thing. And there's a stat that women won 65% of the gold medals for Team USA.
Ooh, of course.
Hello.
We did.
Of course we did. What we do. So to all the queens representing Team USA, I have enjoyed just getting into beach volleyball and gymnastics and all of the sports. Shout out to our soccer team. Hello. Gold medal back on top, back where we need to be. So yes, we already mentioned the women's basketball being the last gold medal in the James, our producer James says, on behalf of the men in America, thank y'all. Yeah. What would you do with that?
You're very welcome. Yes. You're very welcome, James. So, and to all the men, y'all are very welcome.
You are welcome. So women, that's what I'm getting flowers.
No, it's good. It's good. Like we could sit here and talk about the Olympics forever. So I don't want to go say more about that because you hit it all, but I will say this. Our women's 4x4 relay team, my goodness, it wasn't even a competition.
Wasn't even close.
So they were phenomenal. But in addition to all the women, I have one that I want to single out, and that is the OG Diana Taurasi. Listen, her sixth gold medal is bananas. It's crazy. It's never happened. And regardless of what you think, right, that she should retire, that she should still, that she shouldn't be playing, she shouldn't have been on the team, regardless of how you think or how you feel, for me, the fact that she is still playing and she is still getting things done and accomplished on the floor, the fact that she was still in a position to be on the Olympic team says a lot about who she is as a competitor. And I just want to take this moment to give you all of your flowers, your bouquet. I love you, D, Dirty DT. Thank you. Just thank you for being you. Thank you for raising the bar, setting the bar, and leading the way. We appreciate you.
Oh, that is a perfect bouquet. Yes, that is a big, giant bouquet to Diana Taurasi. And I did have a moment, you know, in those early games when she was starting and she would hit a three. And I just was reflective of how many times I have seen her make a three-pointer, but it's still gets me excited. It is still fun to watch because you see that competitiveness shine through. So what a joy, what an honor to cheer on Diana Taurasi in the red, white, and blue. It has been for my whole life. I've only seen Diana Taurasi pretty much in a Olympic uniform. So I love that.
Yeah, so deserving. So deserving.
So deserving. So yeah. Deserving. Okay. Now she's going to go still tear some things up for the Mercury in the season.
Get them to the playoffs.
Woo. All right.
See what happens.
This has been Giving Flowers presented by AT&T. We love giving out those. Make sure to keep following, rating us, reviewing the show. It's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Again, if you have any questions, comments, stories, we love it all. Send it to our listener email address at queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
And y'all know where to find us on social media. You can find me at AirSoups22. And she, her, Jordan, can't give you a long one today.
Okay.
Is at Hey Jordan R.
Ooh, that was a little Hey Jordan R. Also, have you been seeing those breakdancing videos? I feel like with the Hey Jordan R, I could get in the mix.
Well, listen, after watching breaking in the Olympics, you probably could have been
Olympics.
Girl, but I know we're wrapping it up, but I gotta say this. Jemele Hill had one of the funniest tweets, and I don't know if you saw it. It was either Twitter or Instagram. I think it was Twitter. If you go back and you watch, you'll know what I'm talking about. It was the one that was laying on the ground and was doing it.
Yeah, the Australian breakdancer who had a PhD.
Jemele Hill said, "This is me trying to fold fitted sheets." Like, I so felt her in that moment because, like, how do you, anyway,
perfect.
Breakdancing in the Olympics was question mark.
A lot of memes were from that. Oh, yeah. But you can find those if we retweet them on our social media. So it's all connected. Okay.
Yes, you can.
Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
This show is produced by James Jackson. The executive producers are Asha Saluja, Maddie Sprung-Kaiser, and Leah Reese-Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple, music from T-Storm Battle, and a very special thank you to Lena Moss Glazer and the one and only Alex Ozzie.
Ooh, and Court.
And Court.
Is adjourned.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.